Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Some of you don't buy into the PFF numbers or these metrics that they put out there. I do. Highest grade for week 5, quarterbacks. Michael Penix, second behind Drake May with an 87.8. Better than Dak Prescott, better than Jordan Love, better than Matthew Stafford, better than CJ Stroud. This is a heck of a bounce back. Mike, what's going on with the text line? What's
happening? Man, I'm reading these comments from these negative Nellies. Guys, we don't apologize for a win. We've got Elijah Wilkinson starting. Mooney's banged up. We're not our full cover. We didn't have A.J. Terrell in this game. The guy says, he was freaking Mariota. Why are we on such a high horse? Well, we executed. Okay, yeah, I don't like the last score in the fourth that made it closer than it should have been. Coach Terry, this game was too close. Falcons should have won more convincingly, considering Washington didn't have Daniels or McLaurin. Okay. But again, it's a football game. They have other athletes. We won it. We made some amazing plays on defense. We made maybe, as we said, could have had a pick for Divine Diablo. I don't like them converting that fourth down. I don't like the fact that it got back to being a one-possession game. But this is a team that was absolutely humiliated last week. We came back, and Carl just gave the numbers. A quarterback threw for 300. Bijan goes for 170. Drake has a friggin' monster day. 25 points in most fantasy formats. I'll take it. We had 2 sacks.
Yeah,
did you expect us to completely whitewash the Commanders? I wasn't expecting that.
You know, I'm with you. Listen, was the game, because you didn't win more convincingly, that's a weak sauce comment. I really believe that. Guys, do you see how hard it is in this NFL to win these games on Sundays? Are you watching around the league? Like the Eagles looked like they were going to blow Tampa Bay out, and then all of a sudden Tampa Bay came back yesterday. If it wasn't for a Baker Mayfield throw, he shouldn't have never thrown it. He throws interception late. Like, it is one or two plays. And so when we talk about convincingly, when we beat a team like the Carolina Panthers beat us 30-0, Mike, is that how you expect every game to be? It's just not going to be that way. I'm with you. Everything that we thought about this offense needed to be answered. It was. So from that standpoint alone, I feel really good about this. The Mariota thing was a sidebar. If that was going to play out that way, it would have just been, Mike, you know, more salt in the wound if the Commanders would have been able to pull one out.
I mentioned, you know, walking into Mercedes-Benz, you know, and talking to a bunch of listeners, and we're all kind of like, I said, yeah, please don't let Mariota, because that was, after what just happened in Charlotte, that was kind of the expectation level. You know, Todd and Angelina were the folks, by the way. Give them a shout out. Big listeners as we're going through security. And by the way, it's so easy to get in and out of the stadium.
It is.
You know what I mean? Other stadiums, not so easy. If, you know, even Georgia fans had to deal with some of that this week. But guys, this was a win. We're 2-2. Not the 2-2 we expected. I thought we'd go 1-1 in our 2 divisional games. No one expected that Carolina game. I think a lot of folks expected us to lose to the Commanders. So, yes, we were gifted the fact they weren't at full strength, but we told you about our injuries. A.J. Terrell wasn't available. Now, the good news is the bye week, which we didn't like coming early, hopefully gets A.J. healthy for Buffalo.
Yeah, and maybe it plays into our favor to kind of make the adjustments that need to be made, Mike, through 4 weeks of the season, and you know kind of where your soft spots are. You know where your weakness is. Guys, one of those weaknesses is special teams. They got to tighten that up. It has been a problem for the last 3 weeks, to be quite honest with you. That goes back to the Vikings game. You saw it rear its ugly head in the Carolina game, even though we made tons of mistakes. And then to give up 199 return yards, that's a problem. So they got to get some things fixed. But Coach Terry, appreciate the comment. Find Mike at Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, follow the radio show. Dukes and Bell 929, and follow this radio station at 929 The Game. I want to win every game in convincing fashion, but it's hard in the NFL to do that, man. And that's why the fourth quarter and closing games, Mike, and learning how to win games. Do we realize yesterday the biggest thing to me, and I think maybe it's not talked about enough, Mike, the end of the game drive to drain the clock. If we would have did that in 2016, we have a Super Bowl.
And everything changes.
I'm being serious.
It's true.
Yesterday, it was, we've got the ball, 8 minutes to play, the game is done. We're not giving you a chance to do anything else. And we meticulously ran down the field, right, left, right, left, took our time with the play clock.
Run, 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 pass, run, run, pass, run, run. What's the phrase? Salt one away?
That's what they did. Those are the things you want to see. Those are things that you say, how do you learn to win in this league where games are so close? Why do you think the Vegas has all these games, 3, 3.5, 2, 2.5? Like yesterday, you see a game, I think it was the one of the games that we were talking about. Maybe it was the Jags or something. They were like 14-point underdogs. And you're like, what are you talking about? It's hard, man. So I feel like that yesterday sent a big message, not only to us, but others around the league that, hey, we didn't play well the week before. We're going to be fine, and we got a team that can win a lot of games here. 404-726-0929. Appreciate the comments. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. Let's get to 4th and 1. New York Giants have a quarterback, Mike. This kid looked really good.
By the way, listen to this BS. You know our good friend Alexa Hente?
Yes.
He's a Delta guy that needs surgery. He's one of our loyal listeners. We've known him for years. We've broken bread. Up there, we do the shows at Hooters in Buford. So last minute, my buddy Dave's got a ticket, extra ticket for our section. I call Alex. Alex, man, I got an extra ticket for Falcons, man. Dave lives up in Buford. He'll pick you up. No, man, I got to watch the Giants. I'm like, what? Oh, Jackson Dart era begins. I'm like, you can DVR the... What? But anyway, they did get to win. Jackson Dart looked really good.
Yeah, he did.
And you beat the Chargers. But unfortunately, like anything else with the Giants, is a black cloud. And that, of course, is Malik Nabers done for the season.
Yeah, I mean, you win one and you lose another. Look, I don't have the Giants going to the playoffs, but they need to figure out if they got a quarterback. And I think yesterday was a nice starting point. Here's Jackson Dart. He ran the ball effectively yesterday, but he commanded the offense, man. Here he is with the touchdown.
His first start gives the Giants the lead.
He could do that at Ole Miss, and he's showing he'd do it in right. the NFL.
And, of course, you know, being New York and even it's supposed to be the number one media market, lazy articles, just like Eli, the Ole Miss connect. There's synergy, Carl, and symmetry. It's in the stars. Okay. Like I like Jackson Dart, too. I just, as I said to you last week on the show, with all due respect to Russell Wilson, everybody up there's like, let's go. Get the kid in there. He's not going to learn anything. On the bench, let's go.
Yeah, man. Rams defeat the Colts 27-20. Colts' first loss of the season. They shouldn't have lost. Why? Adonai Mitchell. Now, Georgia fans, you remember him. He transferred to Texas.
Yeah.
He's in the league now. And what are you doing, Adonai Mitchell?
Catch, A.D. Mitchell. There he goes, inside the 30. Down the far side.
He's
10, 5, touchdown! A.D. Mitchell! Hold on just a moment. The officials talking to one another at the goal line. The play happened furthest away from us as A.D. Mitchell had a great adjustment on the ball and then streaked down the far sideline. Made it in front of Emmanuel Forbes Jr.
He bobbled the ball at the end, Matt. He switched the ball in his hands right at the goal line. It looks like he may have fumbled it before he crossed the goal line, which would give the Rams the ball on the 20-yard line.
The ball was loose.
I mean, that's just like the Jonathan Taylor play last year in Denver.
Yeah.
Same exact thing.
I mean, deja vu all over again.
Get into the end zone first. Then do whatever you want.
I mean, what are you going to do, man? You do the funky chicken? Is that what you're saying? I mean, I don't get – this is the stuff that makes – this is not like Deshaun Jackson today. He did like the flip and left the ball at the goal line. Remember years ago? Remember that one day?
Yep.
But this one, it's like, you got to be kidding me. Bad beat for my neighbor, Dennis. Dennis the downer with the black lab?
Yeah.
This is the guy, if he owned a funeral parlor, nobody would die when it comes to his picks. That play cost him his parlay, by the way.
It was brutal. And again, Colts should have been in this game. They probably should have won it with that, but didn't play out that way. Meanwhile, Mike, you mentioned Leon Combe, who's the head coach of the Jags, had a heated interaction with Robert Saleh. For those who missed this, we didn't talk a lot about it on the show last week, but Saleh basically accused them of sign stealing. And that didn't go over well.
And after the game, they sort of jawn, and apparently Saleh and a lot of cussing. And it was funny because any player that was asked by either team, they didn't want any of that smoke. It was between them. I don't know what's going on there. But Saleh, and the question now begs, was Leon Combe doing this kind of stuff when he was with the Bucs? Was this, you know, and that's something, I don't know if Todd Bowles was asked that question, but in Jacksonville, apparently Saleh has, at least in his mind, good information that they are legally, because you can try to do it. It's one thing when you do the level of video surveillance the Patriots did years ago in Spygate, where you get yourself in trouble with the league.
Or Michigan.
Right, exactly.
You know, what was going on there.
Hotter Stallions.
Yeah, here's what Cohen said after the game.
You and Saleh at the end of the game.
It was not a big deal. You know, just keep that between us.
one more on that one.
No, I'm going to keep that between us.
So you're
just going to keep that between us right now. That's it.
It sounds like a guy who's definitely cheating and aware that somebody's called him on it.
I'm going to keep that between us. Look, the footage is out there. And somebody, by the way, had a microphone. I mean, if you got video now, you got a microphone.
Now, we can't play it, but Liam Cohn's been, keep my name out your mouth. He literally is screaming this. You can watch it. There's a couple of websites that have, keep your name out my mouth. And that return fire from Robert Saleh was, I will blank your world up.
As he was following him.
Literally, keep my name out your mouth. I will blank your world up, man. And Saleh, I think, and the joke today was there's a picture of Saleh on the golf course a couple years ago. And, of course, he's like 5% body fat.
He's big.
He's one of those, you know, defensive coaches who could probably play line.
Yep.
And, yeah, people are feeling that he would basically rip Liam Cohen in half.
Yeah, that's an interesting situation.
I will blank your world up.
I was kind of hoping they might resolve it right there on the field just for our, you know, interest, but it didn't play out that way. It's Dukes and Bell. 4th and 1 is brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com.
According to lip readers and other folks with audio, Saleh, I was trying to compliment your blank. I will blank your world up. You don't want to blank with me. I will blank it and your blanking life.
Okay.
Wow.
No wonder Cohen was going in a different direction than because he was not walking towards
Nothing happened. Keep it between us. Keep it between us.
Yeah, because there were players out there and stuff. Interesting moment. You know what else was interesting? Don't count these Chiefs out, man. Patrick Mahomes looked like Patrick Mahomes yesterday in a 37-13 beatdown. Was that the final score? Actually, it was 37-20 was the final score as they beat the Ravens.
Ravens DC, Zach Orr, getting a lot of heat right now. That's the worst Ravens defense in years.
No doubt. Here's Mahomes, guys. He went to Hollywood Brown, not only in the third quarter, but he went to him a bunch yesterday.
Up on the football quickly is Patrick Mahomes under center. Worthy's in the backfield. They're going to roll to the right side, and now Mahomes throws for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! Marquise Brown! Hollywood goes all the way across the formation on 4th and 1 for a 15-yard touchdown pass. Mahomes has 4 TD passes into the land of the sweet nectar.
He looked good, man. And the Chiefs, Mike, all of a sudden now, you look at their record. I don't think they're falling off.
Yeah, man, the Packers, the blocked extra point, if you didn't see it, or I should say, that was a big play. The amazing ending in Dallas, where, of course, you knew Micah Parsons was going to have an impact on that game. So now it's the dreaded tie, which people still don't understand why we wind up with ties in the NFL.
All right, when we come back, the criticism is fair, but it changes nothing for me when it comes to what I believe about him as a coach. It's Dukes and Bell.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. It's easy sometimes to compliment guys because you live close or you follow them closer than other programs. That's not the case here. Kirby Smart remains to be the best college football coach currently in the game. And I don't care about losing to Alabama. 24-21 was the final score. I thought the Dogs played well. It's funny, we had Champ Bailey on the pregame show yesterday. And Champ was saying, we played a good team. Georgia's a good team. They'll bounce back. It's okay. You can't get all crazy about this, but I know people do because, as Mike said, it's the quote-unquote Alabama thing. But Kirby Smart is a guy that I truly continue and have been believing in. And because he's 1-7, Mike, this is getting more attention than normal.
Right.
I want you to hear a couple of things from Kirby as we talk about this. And we're going to discuss more coming up at 4 o'clock as part of our dog report. But at the end of the day, this doesn't define Kirby for me. And it doesn't mean that, he won't eventually beat Bama when it matters in one of these big games. And he's not going anywhere. So as far as him being 1-7, let's play that first, and then I'll let you hear what he said about going forward on fourth down, because that was the big question mark in the game where it's tight. You know, if you get it, it might be the game. If you don't kick the field goal. But before that, here's Kirby talking about being 1-7 versus Bama.
I mean, what's everybody else's record against them? You got it? I don't either. Like, I don't lose sleep over that, because those games have been like championship caliber games, right? And even when we play in the regular season, they've been – I just saw 25 scouts out there. They're all there to watch these teams play. So that's not going to affect me. Like, I'm going to be happy and just go lucky if our team comes back and plays well. That's what I worry about.
Yeah, I mean, it's you can try to convince yourself of that, but he's a human being like everybody else, and you want to have that armor, you know, that doesn't penetrate my psyche. My psyche is elite, but it's still a thing, the Alabama thing. Now, the cash play, nobody likes to play. And I know that Kirby defended it, said he'd run it all day, and it's worked for them. It worked in Tennessee, but, you know, they didn't execute. The linemen, look, maybe call Sam Pittman. What you do have in-house, you've got some big recruits. Let Sam get a look at that. I don't know if Sam wants to take a year off or whatever. Love to see Sam, who just got fired by Arkansas, beef up that O-line. And I just wonder if there's somebody out there, if not in the Georgia family, as you said, Muschamp spending time with family, watching his son play for Vanderbilt. But is Schumann the best out there? We've talked so much about Bobo. Is it time to really take a look at Schumann as the DC?
Well, remember now.
Who looked like he was playing catch-up the whole game.
They were without Ernest. Arguably their best offensive lineman in this game on Saturday. He was, obviously on the sidelines, but they were without a guy who started a lot of games for them. Listen, the Sam Pittman thing is just interesting because we know what he's capable of, and you trust him. Arkansas, I don't know what the hell they're doing, by the way. That's a whole nother conversation.
Well, Bobby Petrino, and again, lifeless eyes, Carl. Doll's eyes. Shark's eyes. Petrino's eyes. But Petrino, just like he was trying to, you know, basically weasel in at Texas A&M on Jimbo Steph, he had driven the wedge, and he was ready to pounce once they moved on for Pittman, because Bobby is still, despite the motorcycle and everything else, a guy that had big results in 10-win seasons for Arkansas. So they're putting him back in there.
Yeah, and I guess you can't go home again. But either way, I think his buyout, we're talking about Sam Pittman, is about $10 million, right? $9.3 million buyout. Either way, and that's not a lot, by the way, in today's standards of coaching. So I don't know if he wants to take time off. I do think, though, when we talk about this game, and Mike just looked at me, publicly Kirby's saying that.
Right.
Privately, it's bugging the hell out of him because he owns everybody in this league. So I agree. I don't think it defines him. I don't think he's going to lose sleep. But in those moments where he's sitting in his office, he's like, damn, we should have won that, or we should have did this. He's just like everybody else. But I'll say this. The same things were said about Ryan Day just a few years ago. When he couldn't beat Michigan. Can't beat Michigan. You're owning everybody else. Right. You guys know what his record is against everybody else in the Big Ten? Michigan was the only team that he can't do it. So when you talk about this situation, it didn't define Ryan Day. He goes on to win a national championship. And I still don't think Ryan Day is Kirby. But it's not going to be the defining moment. And I just want people to know, like, Mike, if you're looking at this and going, man, well, you know what? It's easy to jump on this bandwagon right now because of the record. 1-7. Okay, I hear you. I got it.
And if you got a Bama neighbor and they want to chirp that the only time Georgia beat Bama because the receivers were banged, well, knock yourself out. Okay, Georgia had some guys banged up in that game as well. But the Mechie and Jameson Williams things always comes up. Could be worse, Georgia fans. You could be James Franklin. 4-21 versus top 10 teams. And that's a guy that, I mean, I know it's cliched for sports talk radio. He really is the embodiment of can't win the big one, you know, with the whiteout and just couldn't get anything offensively for 3.5 quarters for his Penn State. And again, not a great game for Drew Aller. But again, that's Franklin's DNA. Kirby, this thing is around his neck like an albatross. He's got to avoid these slow starts. The Tennessee game, that's why I mentioned Schumann to you, Carl, to be down 14-0 with these teams. And that's not even counting the drop pass.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been even worse potentially. So it's rare to see a Georgia defense that can't get the stop, can't get the team off the field. You're so used to seeing Georgia, you know, just get a third down, they got this. A few times they could stop them, but still you couldn't get Alabama off the field when it mattered in the second half.
Ty Simpson was really good, man. I mean, like, he was the Ty Simpson that they talked about being when he went to Alabama. We didn't see that against Florida State. He was okay in their next couple of games, but that game on Saturday night, he looked the part. And, boy, he was confident. And, Mike, give him credit. I'm with you. When you tell me they converted, 19 or 17 or 19 or whatever the hell it was, the number, third downs. Right. Guys, you're not going to win a lot of football games if anybody's converting that much on third downs. I don't care who you are.
Right. Ryan Grubb just looked – I mean, that's what I'm saying. It just looked like Grubb had Schumann's game. It was a chess match. Well, one guy was playing checkers. One guy was playing chess and setting them up. You know, and then, you know, we've talked about, and everybody around the country is talking about the Caden Proctor, you know, throwing to your big guy. I love what they said on the ABC. Got down to his target weight of 369, so they threw him a bone. Carl, get him in the game. And the dude is rumbling 6'7", 3". I mean, just unbelievable. But that's imagination. And I heard people say, well, you're not sticking it to Georgia. You didn't score any points in the second half. You're doing everything in your bag of tricks to get the advantage.
Yeah, you want to keep Georgia off guard. And they did that 13-19 on third downs.
Yeah, they're – come on.
That's big. 404-726-0929. That's what Alabama was on third down. 404-726-0929. Does this do anything to change your opinion about Kirby Smart that he's 1-7 against Bama? You can hit us up and let us know. For me, it does nothing. You guys do realize Kirby, when he holds up his 10 fingers, right, he's got 4 rings on this hand and 2 on this one. You realize that? That 4 came from him being defensive coordinator at Alabama. He's got 2 as a head coach at Georgia. This guy epitomizes winning. That's why he is who he is. So I am not concerned one bit about this loss, Mike. And you said it. Now in this college football era, are we going to see an undefeated team, by the way? Do you guys really think Oregon's going to run the table? I mean, honestly, who Ohio State? I don't know. Look, I've seen the rest of their schedule. I just feel like even if there's one undefeated team, you're going to have probably some of, if not the best teams at the end of the season with one or maybe even 2 losses.
Right. The other storylines from the Georgia-Bama game, the Nate Frazier fumble. And you and I were all texting back and forth as it happened. It's like, I mean, look, things happen. You get that rep. You don't get back on the field. Who's the guy? Was it Omar Epps' character in the program?
It was.
Had to carry the football around all day. But the good news is you found Chauncey Bowens is a rock star.
He is a star. He's a star.
Where was Noah Thomas, by the way, in this game? I asked Randy Mack as he's leaving the show today after Andy Randy, and as far as he knows, he's healthy. So he wasn't out there. I mean, you and I said it a million times. You got 3 receptions for Zach Branch. Shouldn't that be more? I mean, is who's that on? Is that back to Bobo? Is Gunner not seeing him? Did they take it away? Because that was one of those things that, man, that's a weapon that seems to be always available to make the big play.
Yeah, no doubt. And all these Alabama fans coming out of the woodwork. What's up, Dukes? Alabama!
Why do you hate Alabama so much?
Oh, my goodness. It pains me. But you know what? I give credit where credit's due, man. And they played well.
But DeBoer, it just seems like two ways of looking at things. 2 things can be true. You know, Florida State had a really tough, heartbreaking loss against, Virginia, a house of horrors for the Seminoles. But they were more ready to play than Ryan Grubb and Cade Womack were in week one. And for the first time this season, Gus Malzahn didn't really have an answer when a team blitzed. So you, Florida State may, now again, if they lose to Miami, that's a different conversation. But they might be back there. But that's what you just said. You may have a bunch of teams with one or two losses. It's going to be wide open for this playoff. But right now, everybody's in their feels because it's the Alabama thing.
Because it's the thing. It's the thing. By the way, we'll talk more about Georgia Tech beating Wake Forest in overtime. It was also one of those games that defines a program where you go, all right, and we said this to you guys Friday. This is not where they've lived. How do you go up there and play? What happens? And Mike hit me up literally Saturday. He goes, here we go. This is exactly what happens with Tech. Because they were lifeless in the first half.
It was a Chan Gailey-like effort.
It was.
The way it started. You're like, oh, no. We're going to win a game you're not supposed to, lose a game you're not supposed to. But credit, I mean, we said this earlier. We'll get into it in length. Haynes King, he doesn't really have the numbers for Heisman because Day-Day was saying, if you just talked about keeping every game, they put it on your shoulders and keep your team alive. It's Haynes King.
Yeah,
doesn't have the throwing numbers that they'd be looking for.
Well, look, that's inflated. I think, you know, when you talk about, look at his receptions and interception numbers or his percentages, this kid is balling out, man. And look, if he's not getting any love, we got to start it.
Right.
Because he is literally doing everything that you possibly could at his position. When you run for over 100 yards almost every game and score with your feet and, Mike, you're throwing for 2+ and 2 touchdowns, like, you're talking about 3 or more touchdowns a game and total yards. Go look at Haynes King's total yards. I don't know if he can do this the rest of the season, but he's having an incredible year. All right, we'll get to Georgia Tech. They came back and beat Wake Forest in overtime. That's on the way. But when we come back, we got to find out how we did in our picks. Oh, do we have to?
Yeah, we need some leadership here, Carl.
We need some leadership.
Captain, my captain.
You know what? I knew Brian Kelly was going to let me down. It's Dukes and Bell.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope you had a great weekend. It always helps when the Falcons find a way to get it done, and they did against the Commanders 34-27. We're talking about it with you at 404-726-0929. Coming up, we'll talk more dogs and more college football and what the landscape looks like after a very interesting weekend where a bunch of top teams fell. Mike, what's going on? Do you think handicapping for us, I'm just talking about for the picks on the show, is it harder this year because of the unpredictability, especially in college football? Or do you think, listen, these spreads have been crazy. We saw last week, 4 games get decided by block kicks in the NFL.
Right.
Like, it's just been a hard year, I think, to really handicap some of this stuff when we talk about the picks.
We weren't trying to be homers. We really felt that Georgia could cover the 2. We loved it at 2.5.
Yep.
And I heard Stakey today, but that's Vegas. They know. You know, we know Vegas knows stake. But, I mean, it is interesting that, you know, the Falcons game was kind of one where Vegas felt like, you know, the Falcons were the better team. We'll get right. We'll get back. Everything you just talked about earlier in the show, how the NFL, it's everything. You know, Pete Rozelle famously wanted parity. You got it. We're 4 weeks into we got 2 games and a doubleheader tonight. I hate those on Monday night. But we got a doubleheader tonight. But there's only 2 teams out of the entire league undefeated. Bills and the Eagles. Bills will play the Patriots before we get them after our bye week on Monday night. But, yeah, I mean, that's the nature of the league. I also think the Day-Day should not let me pick when I have access to alcohol, when I'm on a remote, because that generally sometimes gets me thinking things which I shouldn't be thinking. But in this case, I lucked out. Matter of fact, can we talk about the picks, Day-Day? Because it was absolutely one of the greatest backdoor covers in my life.
It didn't look that way, did it?
Talking about Penn State and Oregon, the over-under on this game was 53.5.
That's crazy.
And I had it at 53, not 52. So if you didn't see it, they basically scored like, you know, 7-10 points with like the fourth quarter. You're not getting, there's no way in God's green earth you're going to get up to 53 unless somehow Penn State rallies, comes back, and ties it. They do. It goes to overtime. Both teams score. Oregon scores. And Uncle Mike gets that cover. The pick is irrelevant at the end. And they do cover the 54. And James Franklin again goes down in flames, and another top 10 team he can't beat.
Yeah, that game was bananas. And Dante Moore is the quarterback, by the way, for Oregon.
What a stud.
Watch him. If you didn't watch him, watch him. He is a true sophomore who waited his turn, Mike. Dylan Gabriel was there, and he was like, ah, everybody wanted him. Kid was like, nah, I'm going to stick around. I'm going to stay here. He's unbelievable. That was a big test for them. By the way, did anybody watch Dan Lanning after the game, how he was huffing and puffing and making faces and grinning? And did you see how looking?
I don't know if that was a booster or who the coach was, because somebody from ABC or NBC is ready to do the interview, and she has to jump back because he's like, yeah, and he daps this guy up, and it's almost like a tackling drill.
It's crazy.
And then he's like, 1,000 cuts, and then we got the jugular. And he's like, all right, bring it down, Dan.
But I tell you what,
a lot of Georgia fans feel that's what they need on their defensive coach right now.
Well, look. You're going to get criticism when you get chopped up like you did against Alabama. Here's the thing. I don't think there are many teams outside of Tennessee and Alabama that can do that. Now, the next team will be Ole Miss. Mm. If you are able to cover and do some of the things, but just from a creative standpoint, Mike, and how their offense flows, you know what Tennessee does. You just got to be able to slow it down. This was a completely different offense than we saw under Jalen Milroe. This was a guy that was in complete control with Ty Simpson, and they were able to do – look, and Jam Miller helped too. We didn't mention that, who ran the ball. But, Day-Day, let's talk about it, man, because everybody struggled. I mean, everybody except you went 2-1, but Mike Orrin went 1-2.
That service he's using, huh, Carl?
And I told you he did, and I went 0-3.
What's up?
A&M didn't help me. LSU knew Brian Kelly was going to suck. And then UGA, we were on it. Mike said it. And by the way, I don't regret that pick. I felt like this was a moment where it was going to happen, and it came down to the end, and it didn't. But, yeah, man, the picks were
Georgia left so many plays on the field.
Oh.
Just like, you know, just that, and that's what I felt. They left plays on offense. They left plays they couldn't tackle when they needed to tackle. Couldn't get them off the field, to Day-Day's point, all those third down conversions. Plays, I didn't like Bobo's play calling. I thought the wideouts had to play a bigger part in this game because I thought we kind of knew you could exploit that because it's not like Alabama's passers. But Alabama got after that,
They did.
But Day-Day, well, real quick, I go 1-2. I was with Carl on Georgia. The game, and this is where the toxicity of the Falcons laying the egg up in Charlotte, it permeated my noggin, and I felt that all the window dressing of Zach Robinson coming down the sideline was not going to pay any dividends. I bet the under. They got to the under about 5 minutes into the fourth quarter. Over, I should say. So the over-under was 43.5, and they blew right past that. So I go 1-2 thanks to the amazing cover from the Ducks and the Pen. What'd you get? What was your picks that worked?
They handled it.
Yeah.
Early in that game, I knew Washington was in trouble when they tried a fake field goal. And I was like, already?
Yeah. Are you lobbying? You would no. You would not let me get out of that Green Bay pick with the Cleveland, sir. Parliamentary procedure.
However.
So you're saying there was a change in things of that nature?
Okay. All right.
No.
Don't give it to him.
You wouldn't let me back out. Once I found out the Packers tight end got out, because did not have that information at my fingertips when we made the picks. So, sir, sorry, sir. You're too... Oh,
you ain't gonna win this argument.
Well, the way. Okay. Right. I'm 7-8. I'm a game under 500. We've only made 15 picks.
There is that dude in the club right now just going around starting fights and wondering why we're not backing him up.
Right.
You got to fight everybody, Day-Day. You ain't got to fight everybody. It's okay. Just walking around swinging on people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that first off, that's sexist. And if anybody out here, Carl's, not, I will not stand for that. Allie has a voice. It needs to be heard.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And again, yeah, Carl, you suck right now, Carl. You gotta.
It's early,
Carl. You're 2-13.
It's early, guys.
It's getting late, early, Carl.
Oh, come on, there's plenty of seasons. It's week four. Let's relax,
Carl.
It's
by
a quarter
our,
of the season,
by
Go
the
on, Carl.
By the former rules on this show, no longer apparently in effect. You've ceded and lost your ability to make picks because you're now 10 games under 500.
Yeah, but the season's early. That doesn't kick in until week 10.
Is that in the bylaws?
Week
or not?
10.
I'm not familiar with that rule. I just thought once you hit 10, that was it.
No, because once you get to week 10, then you know you've got, what, 6 weeks left
in
NFL season.
Okay.
There's no way you can come back.
So there's a chance for you to get worse is what you're saying, Carl.
What
I'm saying is you make it hard
for me to clap back at Squid Billy.
Right.
What
well,
do you mean, clap
well,
back?
Well, what is Squid's record right now? What's he got?
I don't know. I just took offense to him.
Yeah.
You're no longer on this show.
Let's.
This
that's
oh,
right.
Tell him. Tell him.
You know, he's always listening and judging.
And another thing, learn how to pronounce Worcestershire. But anyway, getting back to the importance of this of the pick
and
segment.
And another thing.
You know, if you can finish over about 55%, you're having a good year. You get to anything over 60, you're like a god. But anything over 52 to 54% by Vegas standards, it's basically the same odds for craps and single hand blackjack. That's what we're shooting for. So if we finish over 500, we're there. Carl had a monster year.
I agree.
A year ago.
Yeah, no, it's true. Mike's right. That's why when guys are like, I'm 80%. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
I used to do this bit on the old station. Coach Johnny Vegas, I never lose.
No,
I'm 104-2 against the number.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's not accurate. But right now, I'm 7-8. Oren's what? What's Oren?
Oren is 9.
And you're what? You're 9-7? All right.
Two good weeks. I'm back in it.
No, right.
Us three are doing well.
Okay, right. Oren, why you got to do that? Why you got to point that out?
There's a right half now, circle that's good.
Yeah.
Why y'all doing like
that,
this with your arms?
That last part.
Right.
No.
No, you're like the Cam Ward of football picks right now. You really need to turn this around.
I'm booty.
Booty butt cheeks Carl over there, yeah.
You didn't see it. Cam Ward said, we are A-double-S.
Hey, man. Long season. R-E-L-A-X.
All right. Last time somebody said that on a show I was on, it was Billy Knight.
Hawks,
former Hawks GM.
Like Pat Baff, Carl, I think you need to start getting you're too comfortable right now, Carl.
You're too comfortable
right now.
I need to get uncomfortable. All right, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to have some obscure crap for you guys on Friday. Don't worry.
That's your problem, Carl. You too comfortable.
Yeah, we're about to go way off the board. Trust me.
All right, by the way, you better go buy a service, man. You got to turn this thing around.
I can't cheat like other people, Bo. I can't cheat like that.
I mean, by the way, if you make it over 500 this year, that'll be a hell of a comeback, man.
Don't call it a comeback. I told y'all.
I mean, you're 11 games under, right? 2-13.
That's correct.
Wow.
Yes.
There's a war going on outside. No man is safe from. You could run, but you can't hide forever.
Is this with you and Squid?
No.
Oh.
Dude. If I walk into another spider web like you, I swear. Right.
They have lots of babies.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
what are you spraying them with? Because they say that nothing can kill these things. They're like Starship Trooper things, man.
What you got to do, Day-Day, is you got to kill one and then hang it so the other ones know.
I'll tell you what's going on. Ant killer actually works.
Oh.
It actually works.
And then, too, they also say, too, if you just destroy their webs, because the webs are the real problem.
Right.
The webs are really thick.
Yeah.
And they trap all the other insects that they really shouldn't be trapping, so.
Really?
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Oh, so now they're playing games with you. I'm dead, sir. I'm dead.
Just wait until you left. closed all eight of those eyes.
I go in the house. I come back like maybe 5 minutes later, and my baby boy was with me, and I'm like, Carter, he's gone. Mm-hmm. She was like, no, he's gone, Daddy. I think they played it.
Oh, wow.
You made a mortal enemy, Day-Day.
Look, if they're doing that, we are in real trouble.
Well, they say they don't bite. They say they're scared of humans.
Yes.
Unless you walk in one of the webs. I got a bite right behind my ear. They say.
Oh, they do bite. It's not venomous, though. Yeah. But the bites, they're not fun.
But it's a big old lump on your ear that looks like a mosquito gotcha. So, yeah, I mean, you know where these things come from? China.
Yeah.
Yeah, they come from East Asia.
And they're just
invasive, like bamboo. So, I'm with you. When I see a beautifully made spider web, oh, isn't that pretty? But when I'm walking the dog in the woods, man, because we have the walking path, Carl, it's like you walked into a Harry Potter, like, evil forest or something,
they're
man.
Everywhere.
I'm literally going to war. I'm, like, literally grabbing the spray.
Right.
Tucking it on my side, like I'm putting guns in my holster, like grabbing my broom.
Right. Now I'm finding big ass branches, man. I'm going to town, man. I'm like Thor in the Avengers, man. Yeah.
Not going to get us, man.
No, it is. And look, they said that once it gets cold,
they go away.
They go away.
That's it.
Right?
So what about the X, Carl? They're coming back.
Well, but that's the thing. So whatever you've seen, this is the issue. Like, if you don't take care of it, and again, I'm not an insect guy. I'm just, this is what I do. They come back in full force. That's the deal. So that's probably why you've seen more this year than you saw last year, because that's the deal. Well, you know, I guess he had his aviators and his Gucci bag on. Oh, my bad. Sorry.
Well, listen, like the Phoenix rising from the ashes, Carl had a monster. I think you finished like – there's one year you and I both finished like 20 games over 500.
Oh, yeah, we crushed it. Last year, I think I came in first place. You guys don't remember that?
Yes. Right. But that's why, you know, Chris had a good year last year.
Chris was also using a service.
Turtle had a good year. We immediately feel that somebody's using a service.
When it gets like Chris every week, 3-0, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 3-0, like, come on.
Yeah. Now, look, I could have – the easiest bet I could have made, and you can't bet against your school. I'm not going to bet against Florida State and Virginia.
Oh, you told me all week.
But I told you to jump all over it.
You told me all week. That was a trap game. All right, man, we got more to get to. Some college football on the way. We got to respond to one of our listeners who said it was not a good week for Kirby, and he explained why. We'll talk about that and what Kirby said about his kids being hurt from the loss. It's coming up on Dukes and Bell.
And nothing looks better than a black Louie with black aviators walking on that plane.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.